meeting to order. Clerk will note the roll. A quorum is present. Let's see. Review of the minutes of our March 20th meeting.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Not a big deal, but okay. On the excused up there, it's been Representative Cohn and Representative Hahn, and I believe they're senators.
Oh, yes.
So
we will note that.
There is a big thing. We were promoted. Is that a
promotion? All right. And would someone like to move approval of the minutes?
I'll also move it.
With those corrections. All right. Senator Metzen moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Right. Opposed, no. The motion prevails. Minutes are approved. All right. The next item before us is the review and hopeful approval of the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force assessment request. I believe Representative Hilty is probably here for this item.
Madam Speaker, I'd move the LCC-1 resolution.
So Sertich moves the LCC-1 resolution. Representative Hilty, would you...
You got a deal already.
All right.
Just here to ask.
If you get the order.
Okay. There's any questions? Yeah. Senator Colby-Miller.
I do think we ought just a little bit on, for the record, talk about the jump from 15,000 to 250,000.
Sure.
I agree.
Representative Hilty, why don't you come up to the table and identify yourself and... It's a little explanation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Bill Hilty, co-chair of the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force. Senator Pogamiller, the reason for the request is that legislation this year that passed this year established a number of additional duties for the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force, and that was the consensus of the, in fact, the unanimous consensus of the task force when we met earlier this month, that there would almost absolutely be the necessity of hiring some kind of professional staff in order to deal with some of those duties.
So Hilty, we'll see if people can shut off their phones here so we don't get that offer. Okay.
So this... So, Madam Chair, this additional money then is for staff?
Madam Chair, Senator Pogamiller, not entirely, but among the tasks that we have before us are a nuclear energy study, and I do have a document of
the
Prettner Solon letter. I was reading that.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That basically outlines it. I have a little more detail.
Madam Chair.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, the last legislative session mandated about a half a dozen major initiatives for this task force that we didn't have before. And the thinking is also to not hire like a full-time staff, but to bring in some experts in different areas here on the seabed, for example, in different issues that we're dealing with. So I think it's an expanded agenda mandating four or five new issues. Is that correct?
That is correct. And
the money, it's money, well, it is and it isn't taxpayers' money. Well, I guess it is taxpayers' money. It's from Xcel Energy is billed at $250,000 a year, so it's not the state general fund money. But it is money that...
Actually, Madam Chair, Senator Metzen, the assessment is on all utilities.
It's on all utilities now?
Every electric and gas utility in the state, so it's pretty widely dispersed. It's not, it's not just Xcel.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought it was... Okay, fine.
Okay.
So
Senator Fogelmiller.
So it's not for full-time professional staff people. It's for consultants?
Madam Chair, Senator Fogelmiller, that really remains to be determined by the task force. We had our organizational meeting earlier this month and anticipate another one either in late July or early August. We sort of put out the work plan, which you have a copy of, for the members of the task force with the understanding that they would all contemplate how these various tasks might be accomplished, and we would discuss at the next meeting exactly how we wanted to approach that. But I think that what is contemplated is certainly that we would need to have some kind of expert consultancy on a number of these issues, certainly on the nuclear power study and the seabed oversight.
Senator Fogelmiller?
Have the affected industries had a chance to comment on this?
Representative Hilty?
They have not. I mean, they were represented at the meeting that we had in June, but no one asked to comment, but we have not invited comment.
Senator Fogelmiller, this meeting was publicly noticed, the LCC meeting with the agenda, and certainly I could call for other testimony if folks are in the room.
Let's just call for it.
I will, at that, but first, I'll look to my right and call on Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question I have is this is also appropriating money from 05 and 06, so it's clear that in those years we actually incurred the expenses first and now we're going out for reimbursement. Why would we not do that in 07? I think part of the nervousness that I have is to put out an appropriation ahead of time and, based on supposes and not actual expenses. And it appears that in 05 and 06 we were able to internally finance, and now we're reimbursing. So why would we change that, Representative Hilty, now? Why wouldn't we just let your committee do its work over the next year, come back next year, and then ask for the reimbursement from the utilities company, and then we'd have an exact figure?
Representative Hilty.
Madam Chair, Representative Junkie, I believe that what we're asking for the authority to do is make the assessment as needed. It's up to the $250,000, not necessarily that amount. But the reason that we brought this forward at this time is that this is an annual assessment. If we waited until we were able to engage someone and then made the assessment to cover the expense, we would be limited in the next year and a half to the $250,000. And it was the consensus of the task force at our meeting that that may well not be sufficient to cover the expenses involved in all of these ongoing efforts.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't know if I got my question answered or not. So what's going on with 05 and 06 here? And if you don't know, maybe staff knows. Did we in 05, and I wasn't on this commission, did we say you can spend up to a certain dollar amount and now we've exceeded that by $9,000, so now we're going back and assessing it? Why are we doing assessments in the rears at this point and we're doing an assessment in anticipation for 07?
Representative Hilty, do you know, or would you?
I think, Madam Chair, that Mr. Uvinger would probably be better able to answer the retrospective question than I am.
And it would be, Mr. Uvinger, if you'd state your name for the record, but also tell us the nature of those expenses, being that, was it per diem for meetings, or what was it?
Madam Chair and members, I'm Greg Uvinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Madam Chair and Representative Junkie, the costs for 05 and 06 were for expenses already incurred, as you pointed out, and they were for expenses of the members of the task force in those two fiscal years to attend meetings and to visit certain facilities outside of Minnesota, so there was some out-of-state travel. As I understand it, the proposal for FY07 is anticipating expenses that will be incurred for the large-scale projects that have been put on the task force's plate by the legislature in the 07 session. And so we're anticipating those expenses, and that they were large enough that there was a concern that they may not be able to carry them all out with that amount. And so by assessing at the front end, unlike in previous years, they would also be able to, if needed, come back and request a second assessment for FY08.
And so, Mr. Hubinger, if I could for a second, it sounds like the reason for Representative Hilty to be here and the task force to ask for more is that the scope has been greatly expanded for the task force versus what it has been, which had been some limited travel and exploration of the issues, but now there's been some things spelled out in statute that need to be accomplished by the task force. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Representative Junkie?
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, how did you finance the last 2 years then? Has that come out of your base budget and now you're being reimbursed, or?
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair and Representative Junkie, in previous years, the Department of Finance has essentially fronted the money from the general fund. Mm-hmm. Then the task force assesses and the LCC approves. The utilities are assessed that amount, and then that those funds are reimbursed to the general fund.
Okay. And again, I'm just I'm not arguing that there's an additional workload. It's just very unclear dollar amounts at this time, and I don't like appropriating money not knowing specifics on dollar amounts. I certainly will I understand that there's, and now you're telling me this might only be 1 year. We might do another 250 next year or something. I don't know what that is. I mean, we're really kind of flying on the shoestring right here, not knowing exactly where we're at. And I like what you did in 05 and 06, where someone was looking at expenses. We came in with an exact dollar amount and now have an agreement to go back and assess the utilities, which I don't have a problem with doing that next year for this year's expenses. I'm just trying to understand why we're changing in midstream. Besides a dollar amount, $250,000 still isn't a lot in the overall state budget for Department of Finance to front that money, and then we come back next year and reimburse. So I'm just trying to understand why the change of pace here in the way we fund.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I have some of the same questions that Representative Junkie has. One question, the $250,000, is this monies that have been budgeted for this purpose, or is this going to be, if we approve this, then an assessment made to the utilities for this amount? Is that what we're saying here? We're going to go and take do an assessment at the beginning of this fiscal year or this project year and get the money up front from the utilities? Is that what we're saying, or is this money that's already been budgeted somewhere in the general fund?
Representative Hilty.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, no, this is not budgeted. This is an assessment that would be made.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Senator Metzger.
I've chaired the commission for 4 years, and they've not only not objected to this assessment, they've encouraged the commission to do things and to go forward. So the utilities have not complained about this. $250,000 spread throughout the state, and they've effectively encouraged some of the work or the work that we're doing. Is that correct? Yeah.
Representative Hilty, any?
Madam Chair, thanks, Senator Metzger, is correct.
Mr. Hubinger, has the Department of Finance ever expressed a preference for a way of doing this in terms of either us having the assessment and having the available money to pay the bill for whatever it is, or to do the reimbursement model? I don't know of many other examples where we do the reimbursement model, but maybe you could enlighten us.
Madam Chair, I spoke with our executive budget officer at the Department of Finance last week, and they understood that it was a change in the pattern or practice that we've engaged in for the last at least 10 years. But they understood that it's basically fronting the money rather than paying it at the end. So they didn't have any concerns about that.
Okay. Senator Hand?
One other question, then, Madam Chair. If we assess the $250,000 in utilities and you end up only needing $100,000, then is that money returned to the utilities, or how does that work in the case that you don't use the full amount?
Representative Hilty.
Madam Chair, Senator Hand, Mr. Huebinger might need to correct me on this, but it's my understanding what we're asking for here is the authority to make the assessment, not necessarily that the full amount would be assessed.
Mr. Huebinger.
Mr. Huebinger may have a different...
I don't read it that way.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I had understood that by this action... the Department of Commerce would be asked to assess the utilities for this amount. The funds would be assessed to the utilities, and then the funds deposited in state accounts. If they weren't used in this fiscal year, they would remain there for use, future use by the task force.
Madam Chair.
I was going to call Senator Senjum first. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would just say, and I was a member. I am a member of this task force. I was at the meeting, and you can like them or not. But if you look at studies 3, 5, and 6, they are major undertakings, and I rather suspect personally, and we certainly do environmental consulting studies at work. I would not doubt that any one of those three studies individually might cost $250,000. These are major undertakings, and the legislature has mandated that we go forward with these. I suppose if we don't want to, we don't have to fund them, but I'm not sure that's the spirit in which the legislature offered them up to them. I simply think these are studies that are very major. They're going to cost a lot of money to do and do well, and that's just the way it is.
Representative Junkie.
Well, Madam Chair, that's not the argument we're talking about the table right now, Senator. And with all due respect, I'd be more comfortable doing the old method that we're doing, which is giving them the authority to spend up to $250,000. I'm not arguing that these are expensive. Yeah. Maybe we give them the authority to spend $500 for the biennium.
Yeah.
And then we come back in a year or two and we do like we're doing this year and we assess the utility companies for the reimbursement because, like Senator Hahn just pointed out, what if we assess and now we have a pot of extra money? And we don't know how to handle that at this point. I guess I'm just confused, and I guess I would prefer that staff would have prepared an amendment here, a resolution, doing it the way we used to do it. I'm not sure where the directive came to change in midstream here and why we're going. That's really what we're trying to discover. We're not arguing the merits of the plan. It's just really how we're paying for it.
Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hilty, at your meeting of the Electric Energy Task Force or at any time before or after, have the utility companies expressed any concern over the direction you're going with this resolution?
Madam Chair, Representative Sertich, no, they have not. What I'm distributing is a document that Mr. Fuller from Senate staff put together for the Electric Energy Task Force meeting. It's sort of in the form of a bill, but it isn't a bill. What it is excerpts from statute, the first part describing the structure of the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force, and then the sections that follow correspond to those that are described in the work plan proposal. They are statutory references for the obligations that the task force has. Representative Junkie, if you note, I believe it's the top of page 3, maybe... No, it's at the top of page 4. Is the statutory description of the assessment
power, and that's $250,000 in any fiscal year. The reason that we're bringing this forward right now is that we thought, and as Senator Sundrum has suggested, and I think is, if you reflect on this, for instance, the original proposal for the nuclear study that Representative Pepin had brought forward did have a dollar amount in it. It was $200,000 that if we had passed that amendment in the form that it was offered, would have committed $200,000 simply to the nuclear study, and that probably was not unreasonable. But what we did in conference is modify the language so that it wasn't that large a commitment. My point is that it's easy to see how that could be that large a commitment. So what we're saying here is if we do not make the assessment that's authorized by statute in this fiscal year, then we are clearly limited to what we can do next year, which would be $250,000, which we don't think is likely to be adequate for all of these purposes. It might be, but we thought it was prudent to try to cover the expenses rather than waiting to find out that, in fact, we didn't have sufficient funds to do what we needed to do.
Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Filthy, thank you for the answer to my question at the beginning of that. The utility industry is usually very good at discussing their concerns with the legislature, and if they had some,
yes.
I would think that all of us would be in contact with them multiple times, and they'd be here today. So I think I'm comfortable just moving forward with the resolution as is.
Representative Sertich, my power usually goes out when they want to get my attention.
So, Madam Chair.
Representative Junkie.
Madam Chair, as comfortable as Representative Sertich is, my question then is, I see this then, so the way you explain this for fiscal year 07, so if we don't do it now, we've got to do this by July 1st. Is that what you're saying? And then
that's correct.
This is going to forward into next year where we can do another 250. So essentially we are talking about 500,000 over the next year, essentially, is what you would have available at that point.
Madam Chair, Representative Junkie, potentially that's correct. We didn't anticipate that it would be that much, but we did anticipate that it could easily be more than 250.
And then finally I would ask staff at the table, Madam Chair, if they're comfortable that we are in compliance says in accordance with the billing and assessment procedures provided in section 216B.62. That's what directs all of this. And you're comfortable wearing, I don't know what that statute is and I don't know what it says, that we can assess now this year and forward it and use it and the way we're doing it rather than in the rears. And I guess if staff will verbally tell me they're comfortable that we're in compliance with that.
Mr. Hubinger.
Madam Chair, Representative Junkie, staff, including counsel and both Senate Counsel and Research and House Research, can concur that this is appropriate.
Madam Chair. Senator Hand.
Thank you. Just one other question in this. On page 4, the language says that the amount assessed under this section is appropriated to the director of the LCC. That I would read that to say that then that's been budgeted. Is that not the case?
Representative Hilty or Mr. Hubinger, if you want to clarify.
Mr.
Hubinger,
Madam Chair, Senator Hand. Once the LCC takes action, we send a transmission to the Department of Commerce, who actually implements the assessment with utilities. Those funds would be deposited in an account that is under the control of the LCC.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to ask if there's anyone in the room who would like to testify on this resolution. Any further discussion, Senator Fulmer?
Just a quick question for Mr. Fuller. How many pieces of legislation was all this in? Or was this all in one piece of legislation?
Come to the table, please. Identify yourself for the record.
Because, Madam Chair, I was just noticing the...
My name is John Fuller. It was in several pieces of legislation. It was in Senate Bill 145, the end of the session energy bill. It was in the economic development or the environment bill, Senator Anderson in the Senate, and different and One was a separate bill, Senate File 563, the economic strategy. So it was in, I think, three or four bills, and the first section is existing law.
Senator Fogle, I've been talking for a long time. This is a big area for us. We have a lot of ground to cover.
The geologic carbon sequestration assessment?
Absolutely.
The terrestrial carbon sequestration assessment? Okay.
All right. Any further discussion?
Also more for extraterrestrial.
Okay. On the Sertich motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The motion prevails, and the resolution is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
The next item of business is a number of working groups that are before us that, and we'll take them one by one here, but I'll just run through them for everyone so they know what we're going to be working on here. There is a capital restoration working group laid out, a working group on preparedness for terrorism and disasters, a working group on ethnic heritage and new Americans, a working group on airport funding advisory task force, and sustainable growth working group. And I believe all of these things were passed, not necessarily independently funded in bills, some of them vetoed, actually, but that is why it's before us here to establish size of groups and the tasks before the groups here to be working on. And so the first one up before us is the Capital Restoration Working Group. Senator Rest is here to speak to this particular issue, and I'm looking for someone to maybe move this before us. So
I'll be happy to move it.
All right.
The LCC, too. Dash, too.
Wonderful. Senator Clark moves LCC 2. Senator Rest, if you could, you and I both know a bit about this particular issue.
Actually, I'm probably going to have a comment on the other working groups too, and
okay.
Just in general, if you don't mind, the one of the things that we had done in the Senate was to develop some guidelines for advisory groups and working groups and whatever. And something that is missing in each one of these resolutions is the authority for someone to convene the first meeting of the group, and whether there is to be a chair or joint chairs. And my suggestion, since these are all now working groups of a legislating coordinating commission, is to ask the executive director, Mr. Hubinger, to convene the first meeting, and then to add a statement in the resolution that the members, in whatever your choice would be, may elect a chair or co-chairs, depending on the group, for each one of these. And that is the case with each working group. The language that came from out of the, or there really wasn't one on the Capital Restoration Working Group in the language from the House File 548 that passed, but I think that's a reasonable way to proceed. Otherwise, you don't have any way of bringing the group into being. And then I have a further comment on the membership of the Capital Restoration Working Group itself.
Senator Rest, if we might, let's have drafted some standard language. I guess I would prefer, just as a preference, mm-hmm. that we spell out that there are legislative co-chairs of these groups, since there are a number of people on some of these groups. I think that it is the purview of the legislature to set these up, mm-hmm. and deal with calling meetings as well as sort
then
of...
Then, Madam Chair, I would... I think that's a good idea, and I would suggest that the co-chairs be one senator and one,
yes,
one House member, but elected by the group in the same way that they do with the Electric Energy Task Force.
I think that we can, I'm just looking for guidance from Mr. Hubinger and Mr. Watson, if they can work on that language, and we can maybe proceed to discuss the capital restoration group. Do we need to do anything special in each resolution about Mr. Hubinger convening the first meeting of the groups, or?
Otherwise, Madam Chair, there's no way for them to come together.
Right. Okay.
Madam Chair, we can either just do that administratively, or if you prefer, we could add that language to each of these resolutions.
You know, the thing that might be helpful is to actually add it, because then Mr. Hubinger and Senator Rest and others, committee members, it provides a documentation of how we've done this in the past for future groups, and then no one has to scratch their head and wonder, or go back and listen through and figure out, read minutes or whatever, to figure out how we decided to actually do that. So maybe two separate items that are added, one that covers that the executive director of the LCC convenes the first meeting of any working group established, and then the second, and I don't know, Mr. Watson, you look like you're ready to give us some suggestions. I think Senator Clark would be willing to incorporate the language into LCC 2.
Madam Chair, Peter Watson, Senate Counsel. My suggestion would be to add a new paragraph 3, organization. The Executive Director of the Legislative Coordinating Commission shall convene the first meeting of the working group, at which the working group shall elect co-chairs, one senator, one representative.
Perfect. And if we could get that to incorporate, that would be great. Senator Clark, are you...
Yes.
Any discussion to that organizational piece? Okay, Senator Rest, you had another comment.
Yes, Madam Chair, it has to do with the membership, the legislative membership. I would respectfully suggest that you add that the members of the House of Representatives and the Senate be increased to 6, and that an additional member of the minority party in each body be included. Right now, it's really top heavy. It's 8 Democrats and 2 Republicans, and this is really not a dealing with the capital restoration is not a partisan issue. And I would think at least to have 8 and 4 would be. Reasonable. This is a facilitating process group. It's not a group that is voting on any appropriations or it's not really voting on a plan in and of itself, but just a way of getting to a common vision.
Senator Rest, I'm certainly open to that as chair. I would seek if there's any dissenting input.
And that would mean, Madam Chair, that would just mean adding after A and B, and an additional member appointed by the minority leader of the House, additional member appointed by the minority leader of the Senate.
Well, we could do that, although I think that I appointed, my memory of this is I appointed everyone that folks came and sought the appointment. And
whatever.
So
however
I don't
you
know.
Want to
I mean, I think that matter. If people were interested, and I know there is another member that is potentially interested on the minority side who had wanted to serve the first time. Senator Senjum, minority leader.
Well, thank you for that gracious suggestion. If I had the right words, I'd make that motion that we go forward and do that. But I'm not sure I have the language right now. Certainly, we have to make it 6 members. And maybe perhaps Senator Watson, Chief Counsel Watson, maybe can help
and
us.
Maybe Senator Rest and others, we could just use the appointing process given to us and how we do this in each of our bodies. You, the Senate, uses the
Committee of Committees.
In the House, it's usually the authority of the Speaker, and I can consult with Representative Seifert. I'm completely comfortable doing that.
Madam Chair,
yes,
one way,
Senator,
of not having to redo all the language could be just, quite frankly, to strike or to say
six
members of the House of Representatives, including previously appointed members, blah, 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 and the same thing with B, and then it would be under, you could either spell it out that it would be another member of the minority party or not, but that would be one way of doing it. But I'm sure Mr. Watson has a more...
Mr. Watson, suggestions?
Madam Chair, mine was similar to say six members of the House of Representatives, including Representatives Carlson, Houseman, Lanning, Leffler, and Murphy, six members of the Senate, including Senators Cohen, Fredrickson, Langseth, Mitzen, and Rest.
Okay, with the understanding that the additional member be a member of the minority.
Okay. I'd be happy, Madam Chair, to include that in the resolution. I think it's an important point that we do have some representation in this group.
Senator Clark, thank you for modifying your resolution. If we have, anyone else have any changes, modifications to the resolution? Otherwise, Senator Russ, if you could Representative Junkie.
I have an amendment.
Okay.
Down under number three, duties.
Mm-hmm.
In the third line, delete restoration and put in renovation. And after the buildings, at the end of that sentence, just add the words and related capital complex planning issues. And the reason I do that is because we've only gotten these, unfortunately, an hour. We've seen them now for the first time. They weren't available yesterday. As I compare that paragraph to the actual language in the bill, nowhere does it say restoration, it's renovation, and albeit a slight, there is a difference there. And by adding the related planning issues, you're also talking about then light rail stops or new buildings or other things that aren't existing now, which I think is important as this group go through this planning process. So I'd like to add those two things, which are included actually in the actual bill, to make sure that they're included here in this establishment of this task force.
Well, Representative Junkie, I happen to know a lot about that language because I think I wrote that language. So I think that...
And I like your language.
I am a little concerned that... I think what we wanted to capture in this group is that there are a number of options available in coming to some consensus on moving forward. This is not the CAP board, and so they will not be making decisions on some of these things. They might be considering them in their decision-making process. I think it is fine to expand it to at least consider the capital complex. They have a fairly short timeline here to do their work in as well, to kind of try to figure out if we can get back on track with any sort of renovation or restoration of the Capitol. So I guess I would prefer that if we could give options to them, and I guess renovation, I'd be happy to include it because it's in the original language, but I think restoration is maybe a different level. And so that's what I think that's what someone was trying to get at in how they drafted this. I mean, I don't want to have a big fight over it today, but I think it's a fairly narrow timeline here to get to September 30th. So,
Madam Chair, I'm just looking. You've already referenced the bill. If you went to reference the bill, I guess is why you're saying to do something different than the reference you made in the paragraph. And I'm just trying to be consistent. I understand the issue very well, but
I think, I mean, pardon? Representative Murphy?
Madam Chair, how about using both words?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Okay. If we could use both words in the sentence and then expand to look at some of the other issues, it would be fine.
Restoration or renovation?
And or.
And or.
Just and. And, in, yeah. And includes or.
So. Senator Rest? Okay. Well,
it's fine.
Senator Clark?
Madam Chair, I'm happy to accommodate that.
I think it's Senator Pogue-Miller, if Senator Rest could present briefly why we're at this point.
No, I'm fine. Oh. I just want to make a change, though.
You want to make a change? Okay.
Madam Chair, could I just comment on one thing with you regard to
yes.
the things that are, like, outside of, like, the LRT stop?
Right.
That is a statutory thing of the CAP board with regard to zoning. And so we're not, this working group, and I don't think that in the original legislation wasn't intended to usurp the CAP board's obligation
zoning. I guess I just used that so I could not bring up the real topic, which this is talking about, which is the capital itself. And what the additional language does, too, then, is give you the option to not just look at existing buildings, but look at options for new buildings.
I see.
Well, which I think is important, too.
I see.
I just used LRT as an example.
Okay, sure.
But it wasn't really why.
I was thinking more of signs at Sears, and I don't think...
Oh, yeah. No.
...needs to bother with that. But the CAP board does.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
Madam Chair, I was just noticing that this group expires in 09. So I think it would be better in A and B under membership. If we just say six members of the House appointed by the Speaker and six members of the Senate appointed by the Subcommittee on Committees.
Senator Pogue-Miller, that's a very good point. I had actually, I think it's better if we don't name names in this. So maybe if we strike the names but have the six, and everyone sees the intention of, there had been a previously appointed group to work on some of these issues. Could be some different. So, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, because I don't think in House File 548 there was an expiration for the group.
Okay.
We might ask the group, however, or give the group a little, if we're going to let them be in existence until January 1st of 2009, we might give them a little bit more time to make their report and not ask that it be done by September 30th, but maybe at least another month or two.
That's in the bill.
I think the original
thing... 07 in the bill.
Yeah. The report to the legislature is supposed to be due by September 30th of 2007. Maybe at least a couple more months for that facilitating common vision process to be resolved.
Senator Rest, I'm remembering that night and the ensuing conversations, and I think the concern there is that for the CAP board and the Department of Administration
True.
To prepare
a bonding
prepare
request,
their bonding request,
I
think we all suspect is coming here.
Erase that comment.
Okay. It's best if it's done by September 30th because then any modifications can be made in the second deadline of the administration's Department of Finance's capital bonding process, and that is why the 30th. I know it's a short timeline, but frankly, I think it's more important to get everybody together in a room in a fairly regular way over that period of time and see if we can get to a more common vision. Okay, so we're going to leave that date.
Madam Chair.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
And then I'd make a suggestion on number I. Isn't one member of an organization representing disabled enough?
Senator Pogue-Miller, that was actually my suggestion through our staff to the LCC, and the reason why is that we have been doing a lot of work through the LCC with members of the disability community, and there are a couple of different ways folks interact with the Capitol that are significant. One is hearing loss, which is a very broad either deafness or hearing loss, which is quite different than a physical disability, such as issues of access. And so that is why two folks from the disability community included, because it is significantly different. And it is significantly different because one actually also impacts our outreach through TV and any broadcast mediums as well. And there are technologies available to us that can, as we renovate things, assist us in doing that. So But, I mean, should
fine.
You...
Madam Chair, it's fine. It just seems like if the Supreme Court only gets one appointment.
There's only 12 of them.
There are only 12 justices, and there are thousands of disabled Minnesotans.
I'm not sure that's how I'd look at it.
So, Madam Chair, I believe that my motion is going to have one more modification, would be to change A and B to 6 members.
Yes.
Appointed by the Speaker.
For, maybe we should just clarify at this point, 6 members, 4 of the majority, 2 from the minority of each of those. So that's more clear. And that handles the concern. Any... Senator Hand.
Chair, just thank you, Madam Chair. Just the question on the, this is, I think, the only one of the commission resolutions we're looking at that has a dollar amount on the back of the page under Section 4. And I just, the $250,000, has that been appropriated? Is that funds that are already designated for this? Or is this some?
Senator Rest.
Yes, Senator Hand. It was in the House File 548. It had originally been $750,000 in the vetoed Senate File 1997. The additional, we really weren't expecting either $750,000 or $250,000 to be necessary for actually this facilitating process to arrive at a common vision for the project. But the technical help that will be necessary, would be using beyond the $50,000. And the model, which the LCC can adopt or not, but a very, I think, what was almost universally endorsed as a successful model of facilitating a new commission was that was used with the LCCMR. And that was a cost of about $45,000-$50,000. And then the additional dollars in the in-house file 48 says that any unexpended balance from the appropriation would be going to the Commissioner of the Administration for additional planning and design for changes in the capital complex. So it's not authority to spend $250,000 on a facilitating process, but the technical help that may be needed from the architects and the whatever those construction people, whatever.
Engineers.
Yeah, consultants or whatever would be people who draw planning.
Senator Hand, the other thing is there have been a couple notable capital renovations in other states that the group has, the CAP board at least, has looked at in terms of information. There might be a question of either sending a smaller delegation to one of those states to look and meet with people, Kansas, Texas, there's others, or have someone from those states come to visit with the group at some point here in Minnesota and pay the expense of having them come here. So that was one of the things that we envisioned when we were trying to figure out a way to move the project forward and have it be more agreed upon than it is right now. Any further
Madam
discussion?
Chair?
Yes, Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, would you just maybe capsulize what you view the relationship between this group and the CAP board to be, Willie, and you know, my question obviously, will it be bumping heads?
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, I don't believe the CAP board views it that way. I don't mean to speak for the Lieutenant Governor and the rest of the board members, but I am a board member myself, and I think they view it as the Speaker just indicated, as a way of moving this project forward, and otherwise it has really come to somewhat of not exactly an impasse, but it's a way of moving it forward rather than having to go back to square one. And so I think that they are very supportive of reaching a common vision, not only among legislators, but among other tenants of the building and stakeholders in the process, which includes members of the public, too, which I hope that this group will welcome comment and participation from.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Further discussion to this working group. All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion prevails on Senator Clark's motion on LCC2 as modified. We are modifying all of these with the Watson language on organization, just to note that. All right, on to the next. I have before me the working group on preparedness for terrorism and disasters. Yes, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, just some background. These were all in the vetoed Senate file 1997, and in House file 548, rather than the commissions that were established, instead there were paragraphs of language that were added without any funding associated with them that called upon the Legislative Coordinating Commission to establish a working group to deal with, in this instance, preparedness for terrorism and disasters. This was Representative Winkler's bill. It was included in the House version of Senate file 1997. The Senate author was Senator Bonhoff, but the bill, we never had a request for a hearing on the bill in the House, but it was part of the Conference Committee report. And the what I believe Mr. Hubinger did was to look at the language that was included in Senate File 1997, establishing the full-blown commissions, and then taking the membership, if you will, for that and the organization, et cetera, and placing it as if in the working group language coming from the bill. The House File 548, however, did indeed ask for the LCC to establish such a working group.
I will entertain a motion on LCC-3.
So
Senator Metzen moves LCC-3 with the Watson language modification. Any further discussion? Senator Pogamiller.
If one of the duties is to oversee executive activities, you've got executive people sitting in here. Seems a little confusing.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Winkler's bill. I'm just trying to explain how
sure.
It comes here.
It seems to me I'll take the executive people off of here. This is an oversight group.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chair, just a question, I guess, on that. Do we have the, a constitutional issue that we have the power to oversee the executive branch in performing their duties? Is that what we're saying we're doing here? And if so, is there any constitutional issue involved in that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, that's what my committee is all about.
Mr. Chairman. And
state government oversight.
And Senator Rust, I'm not denying that the power of the legislature to oversee specific activities, but when we say we're going to oversee the executive branch and the undertaking of its duties, that if those duties are assigned to the executive, is that, I just am wondering, I don't know if that's an appropriate description of how we do things, and are we intruding, or I'm not sure what the purpose of, what the reason for the veto was. Was it purely a funding issue, or was it?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
And Senator Hand, I think it is perfectly proper, and it, it's not my bill, but it's perfectly proper. It is a function of the legislature to oversee the the executive branch. It's part of the checks and balances systems that we have, and certainly the Senate is the Senate and the House to some extent when it confirms members of the campaign finance board. We do indeed exercise an oversight with regard to even appointments that the governor makes for those people to keep their jobs as the heads of state agencies. So I think we are looking for, Representative Winkler was looking for an oversight function of this group, and I think that Senator Pogemiller's point is well taken with regard to, and not to be disrespectful, but it's kind of like the, you know, who's guarding the chicken house here. And it may be that what ought to be, and I don't know how to change this exactly, but to ask as one of the duties that if you have A, B, F, and G, that as part of the membership, and then say under the duties that the working group shall consult with the Commissioner of Public Safety, the Commissioner of Health, and the Attorney General in carrying out their duties. I think that at least directs them to that, to those either agencies or a constitutional officer, without making the constitutional officer or the agency heads members of the working group.
And to Senator Hand, Senator Pogemiller, just to mention, and for the record, they would serve as non-voting ex officio members.
That's the point I was going to make.
Okay. Senator Hand, any further questions or comments?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogemiller, were you going to be making a motion or just
I'd like
questions?
To move what Senator Rust has suggested, because otherwise there's already a lot of activity going on this, so you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Okay. Senator Rest's suggestion was to, I believe, eliminate C, D, and E and have the working group consult with those two departments and with the Attorney General's office.
Even though, granted, Mr. Chairman, and there was the point that they would be non-voting members. I think it changes the tone of the oversight function to a more appropriate one. I don't think Representative Winkler would object.
Okay, Senator Pogemiller, does that is that your motion then?
Why not just eliminate C, D, and E? Because I don't know if you need that extra language. Yeah. Just eliminate C, D, and E.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller moves to delete C, D, and E. Any discussion? Senator Metz.
I'll accept the Rest Pogemiller amendment.
Senator Metzen modifies his motion with the new language. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Huber, this isn't a new idea. Didn't we have a committee that was in existence before and then it was sunsetted that did this?
Mr. Huminger.
Madam Chair, Representative Murphy, I'm not remembering that group.
Well,
I believe the governor has a
Center Rest.
A committee on, quote, homeland security that is made up of Capitol Police, or what do you call them, Capitol Security, and et cetera. So that group does.
Okay.
There may be some overlap, but what this is an opportunity for, I think Representative Winkler was trying to assert, is that this is a legislative function as well, and we're not included in that other group, as far as I know. And maybe except staff from the House and Senate.
And Chair, I accept what you say, but I think when it started, I was on it and went to a couple few meetings till I got off, and then Representative Huntley was on it. I think it was the Homeland Security thing. But
Madam Chair,
Representative Murphy, are you
I'm finished.
Okay. Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair, there, I was quite involved in this, frankly, before I got in the legislature, but there, under federal law, I won't get into specifics, passed in 1986, there is a requirement that every state have an emergency response commission. We had that commission up until 2005, I believe, and it was whatever you do to get rid of it, repealed. That federal law still stands. The so-called Homeland Security body is supposed to be doing the requirements of that federal law. I don't know that anybody knows for sure if they are or not, because there's really no reporting mechanism. The State Emergency Response Commissions did have certainly both the state agency people on it as well as members of the public. I happened to chair it for 9 years. It was, I thought, a functional group and did good work. Something like this, I think, is important. There ought to be oversight into what these activities are. Otherwise, no one knows.
Any further discussion? LCC 3, as modified on Senator Metzen's motion that this be adopted. Has to be adopted. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion prevails, and LCC 3 is adopted as modified. The next working group before us is the Working Group on Ethnic Heritage and New Americans. Representative Murphy, would you move this for Representative Yaros's...
Yes, I'll move adoption of LCC 4.
All right. With the Watson language included on organization.
Madam Chair,
Senator Rest.
This is was also similar language to the replacing the commission language for terrorism and disaster was also put into House File 548 from regarding the commission that was established in 1997 on ethnic heritage and New Americans. There were two proposals initially, one on ethnic heritage that Representative Yaros authored, and then there was one on New Americans that I authored in the Senate and that Representative Hamilton was the chief author in the House. And what happened with those is that when those two proposals came together, or they did indeed come together in the in the House, in the conference committee report, and that is what is reflected here in this working group.
Discussion to LCC 4. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of LCC 4 and the Murphy motion to adopt LCC 4, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Aye. No. The motion prevails, and LCC 4 is adopted. LCC 5, Airport Funding Advisory Task Force. I think the executive director of the House DFL Caucus will be sitting on the last one, apparently. The Senate has made a demand. So, Senator Rest, we need a motion.
Madam Chair, I'll move LCC 5.
Representative Junkie moves LCC 5. Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, this provisions for this, the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force, came up in two bills. One was the vetoed transportation funding bill, and then secondly, it came, and so it was adopted by both bodies. Secondly, it was going to be in the, well, it was actually in the Conference Committee report on House File 1351, which was the transportation policy bill. The funding for it, Senator Hand's going to be looking at the appropriation, was passed and signed, and the it's not a general fund appropriation. It is a fund. It is a the source of the funding is the airport's fund itself. Members may remember that in 2003, the airport's fund, which at that time stood at about $15 million, was depleted in the service of meeting the budget deficit, and it has since that time been refunded so that the money has come back into the airport. Into the airport's fund. This is the fund that is a revolving fund that airport folks across the state can apply to for projects such as linking runways and et cetera. There were a group of stakeholders in the aviation industry, but primarily general aviation, but you can see that there's a representative also here from the MAC, about whether the current way of funding the airport fund in the Department of Aeronautics is sufficient and whether it is fair and so forth. So they suggested having this task force that would indeed study in its duties the adequacy of the current sources of revenue and whether there should be a change in the way in which that is funded and to make a report back to the legislature. The after the convening has occurred and in the bill itself, the director of the aeronautics division of the Department of Transportation was asked to convene it, but it doesn't, I think, this is an LCC function, so Mr. Hubinger is perfectly appropriate to do that. But I would note that once the co-chairs, in this instance, were chosen, that they may then appoint non-voting members from stakeholder groups in the aviation industry across the state.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Clark.
It would appear that we do might want to modify Seuss as the chair of, and we've been talking about co-chairs for all of these.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
the co-chairs. And I was going to note that the Watson language on organization will be included in this on co-chairs and the convening of the first meeting. Thank you, Senator Clark, for that. Representative Junkie will
incorporate
those
that.
Modifications. Further discussion to LCC 5. Any further discussion? Any testimony? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion prevails and LCC 5 is adopted. We are on LCC 6, Sustainable Growth Working Group.
I've never seen the FAA has got so much money.
Senator, let's see. Are you prepared to move this?
I don't want to move this one.
Okay. Senator Clark will move LCC 6. I believe that we do have someone that might want to testify on this as well, potentially, in the audience. So,
Chair, I'd like to explain just a little bit about the process.
How it works.
Yes. Thank you, Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, in the... in the omnibus State Department's bill conference committee, there was a provision for the establishment of the sustainable growth. I don't know what it was called. I think it was actually called a task force. And unlike the Commission on Ethnic and New Americans, and unlike the Commission Task Force on Terrorism. In Senate File 1997, there was no appropriation that was included to support that. But we did have the language in the bill to go forward to operate on its own. When House File 548 has been passed, the language regarding the sustainable growth working group was not included. So it comes with a little bit less authority than to the LCC than was in 548 for the other two, which directed the LCC or at least asked them to establish them. Nevertheless, I would suggest that the basic structure of this is something that the legislature should be involved in, and not just the governor or other state agencies. And again, it's more getting involved at the level of oversight of sustainable growth policy. And I can imagine that Senator Pogonero is looking at the list of people that includes commissioners, and you do it whatever seems appropriate there. But just that's the background on the process of how this resolution came.
Discussion. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In paragraph 2, or subparagraph L, the promoting sustainable communities, is this a term that is defined anywhere? I'm not clear exactly what that would mean, and is there some statutory language or some other reference that has that clearly defined what we're talking about?
Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, Ms. Callahan is here. I think it would be appropriate to hear from her with regard to the groups that were involved in coming up with this proposal, and she can be responsive to Senator Haynes' question.
Ms. Callahan, if you'll identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Rachel Callahan, and I am working with Greater Minnesota Housing Fund on this initiative. They really spearheaded this effort to come forth with legislation that they had been thinking about for a number of years. McKnight Foundation, which is one of the major funders of Greater Minnesota Housing Fund, had been convening a policy group over the last 3 or 4 years to look at how to better promote economic development while also promoting environmental issues, that the two things do not necessarily have to be contradictory, but in fact, often they are. And so that was really the impetus for the creation of this working group. And the idea behind sustainable communities is that we can grow our communities, strengthen our communities, strengthen our economic development, while at the same time preserving our natural resources in the state, and that those things can and should happen at the same time. And what we have found is that the state of Minnesota does very little amongst our state agencies to actually coordinate that. And so this working group is being asked to be convened to really look at those issues. How can the state agencies better talk to each other, better create opportunities for those strategic discussions and investments that accomplish both goals of economic development and environmental sustainability?
Senator Hand.
So, Madam Chair, there is no precise definition of what a sustainable community or what sustainable growth means. It's kind of a term of art that may mean different things to different people, and I guess I'm just, I know we've talked about this, or I've seen this language, but I'm just curious if it's ever been defined or has been precisely said, this is what we mean. It's, if you're talking about a balance between economics and environmental concerns, is there some, how does that balance get established? Or, but is there no definition that is precise or that people all agree on?
Ms. Callahan.
Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, there is actually in statute a definition for sustainable communities. I don't have that with me right now, but essentially the gist of it is that that we can promote economic development while protecting environment and essentially preserving our natural environment for future generations. So it's really about that notion is how do we promote, for the here and now, strong economic development, strong Minnesota, but also preserving that for future generations.
Sarah Clark.
Yeah, Chair, I know this is my motion, but I do have a couple of questions. Given the number of people that are on here and there being so few legislators, since this is a legislative activity, would either of you have some thoughts about why there weren't more than two from the House and two from the Senate? Because I think we might want a few more. And the other thing is it would seem to me that normally you would not have a group coming back and identifying what the source of funding would be, that usually that's up to committees to do. So I'm wondering what your thoughts were about that.
Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, Senator Ford, with regard to the second issue, I think that they may expect to get some foundation funding, and if they did, in their report, they have to indicate where that was coming from. That's all that that means.
Madam Chair, is that necessary in the resolution, though? Would they just include
that? What Mr. Fletcher did, apparently, was to take the language that was in the legislation and just move that over to this resolution, and that group and that language said that from Senate File 1997 that was passed, the working group must report proposed strategies, et cetera. In its report and the governor, the working group must identify its source of funding. So I think that's, and it was not prevented from asking for outside sources, such as the McKnight Foundation.
Mm-hmm. So, Senator Ress, is this purely then than just saying this is where we got our funding to do the report?
Yes.
Okay.
And then as to the number of legislators? The low number of legislators, I'll let Ms. Callahan speak to that. And I agree with you. I think it's too much administration here myself, but
Ms. Callahan.
I'd be happy to answer that question. We were advised in putting originally drafting this legislation that we should not try to exceed a number of 25 members on the committee, and so we felt that having four legislators, one person representing each caucus, would hopefully represent that well enough. We also felt that it was really critically important to have the agencies represented that are making decisions about how to spend a lot of the resources, the billions of dollars that the legislature appropriates every year, because they are making decisions, but they are not necessarily communicating with each other about some of those decisions. And so, as an example, there are affordable housing developments that are being created and not necessarily being consulting with the DNR, for example, on the potential impacts there.
Ms. Callahan, I will just say that I find this completely out of balance, and the fact that the administration has nine members, because I view the chair of the Met Council as a member of the administration, 12 members of the public and 4 members, and you expect that those one of each caucus in each body is somehow going to represent the views, when that means you also have to balance, when you mention these things, suburban, urban, rural, it just sort of is striking to me that this, we are creating something here. Members, I apologize. I saw all the other language yesterday, discussed it. I did not see this language at a hold today, other than I asked staff to check with the two chairs of the committees, as well as I think Representative Dabney had carried this. I'm not saying that it's not going to come back, but I guess I would question whether we should lay this over and work on this one and not do the work here. Some of the other things that we were doing were small moves to enhance the groups. This seems to need a lot more work. I mean, I think there's a question about should the administration be ex officio? Should they be voting? Should they be...
Do they want to participate?
Do they want to participate in this? I guess I did not realize the size of this and the imbalance between the different groups in terms of size. And I mean, I don't want to delay it, but yet I think in all fairness, we almost have to wait to a July meeting and work on this because I did not see this until right now. I'm a little shocked. Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, I think your point is well taken. I would suggest that even as a beginning, setting aside the members of the administration, that will be changed to 6 public members. And A and B take up that, and B, 5 members of the House and 5 members of the
Why don't we hold up and Senator Clark, do you mind if
what I'd like to do is withdraw the
yes.
motion, and I think we should come back to this. I think it's important to be finding out what the administration wants to be doing, and part of the reason why I raised the question about legislators is I think there's a number of members who are really very interested in this topic, and so I think we need to think, and I know Senator Pogamiller will be glad to know there's more members who would like to be on more commissions, but I do think if we're going to move forward in this, we should, then we want to do this in a more thoughtful way.
I completely think that it's important and we need to do it. I just think that the structure of it is not quite where it should be. Senator Han and then Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know we're not going to act on this, but maybe just as a thought to if it is going to come back, one question I would have is when we talk about in paragraph 3 the statewide goals of sustainable development, it might be helpful to have a reference of where those goals are, whether they're in statute or otherwise, just so that there's some clarity about what this group is working on. That would just be a suggestion.
And Madam Chair, that's kind of my – I have the same thing underlined. I don't know if this is telling them to develop statewide goals or if there are statewide goals. And I think that whole paragraph needs to be looked at. There's also – sustainability is put in there as one of the things to look at. Sustainability of what? It's just in there as – I mean, this – I would advise who's ever redrafting to really look at that paragraph and try and clarify it on the sustainability side also. And hopefully we can get copies of this well in advance of our meeting so that we can look at them also if that's possible for staff.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Murphy.
We used to have a whole department of planning that used to take care of this kind of stuff.
I would agree that Representative Murphy were... And there are some other things we've eliminated recently that might have had something to do with this. I mean, I think we need to think about that. But
Madam Chair,
I'm willing to call a July meeting at some point. I don't know if it coincides with anything else. But I certainly... would do that, and maybe in the meantime we could work collectively to figure out language that can work for kind of the intended purpose, but also balance out some of these interests, because it does seem like I think we all had a little bit of a big-eyed look when we started looking at that, the list of participants and some of the language around it, a little different than some of the other things we've seen. So if you would keep working on that, and we'll figure out how to work on that process. Any other business before us today? Yes, Representative Murphy.
Before we leave the entire topic of these working groups, I would request from Mr. Huberger and you, when you're making your appointments, and Senator Pogamiller, and when the Committee of Committees or you make appointments, to try to have people from across the state in these appointments, especially for number 5. I was going to say number 6 and number 5.
Which is number 5 again?
The airport one.
Airport,
And the ethnic heritage and the terrorism thing, because of it. They're indeed things that affect the whole state, and we have to have some kind of geographical balance. I know, and just one or two people may don't do it.
Representative Murphy, that is noted, and an important part of making appointments. So thank you so much, members. If there's no more business, the meeting is adjourned.
Good job, Madam Chair.